2 Kings chapter 2, and just with God's word open before us, let us seek the Lord together in prayer as we come to consider his word this morning. Our God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee, O Lord, that we can come into thy presence afresh. We thank thee, O God, that thou art indeed the God who rolls the sea away. The tempests of sin one day in our lives were before us. The waves of sin did threaten to sweep us away, to cast us to be lost forever. But we thank thee, Lord, that when we looked upon thee and we called upon thee, thou didst open the seas before us, and we go towards the promised land, the new Jerusalem. Lord, we do thank thee that there is nothing our God cannot do but fail. We thank thee, O Lord, that we have a great and mighty God in heaven. And Lord, upon thee this morning I rest upon for help. Lord, I acknowledge my need of thee. I pray that this morning thou wouldst fill me afresh with thy blessed Holy Spirit. I pray that this day that thy word would go forth with power and with liberty. I pray, dear Lord, thou wouldst fill me to overflow with thy blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, I empty myself before thee now. Thou wouldst fill me to overflow with thy blessed Holy Ghost. I surrender myself to thee in this service, that I would be controlled of thy Holy Spirit, that I would speak only those things in which thou would have me to speak, that I would deliver thy message in the manner in the which that thou would have me to deliver it. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst be in our presence. Bind the strong man, we pray. Let us not miss out in the blessing of receiving thy word this day. Let us be fed this day. May we be fed with that manna from heaven this day, and know that our souls have been filled. We've been edified. We've been instructed. We've been blessed in thy presence. Lord, we do give thee the thanks for thy help thus far in our service. And Lord, we look to thee to be in our midst, even now as we come to worship thee and consider thy word. So Lord, give help, we humbly ask of thee in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought of taking up one's mantle is a common saying that is used even to this day. The thought of taking up one's mantle is the thought of taking up the responsibilities and the duties in which another has retired from. Such is the illustration and the case in which we have read this morning in 2 Kings chapter 2. It is the same in the case with Elisha, who takes up not only just the mantle or the garment of Elijah, he goes to be with the Lord in heaven, but he takes up the office, the duties and the responsibilities of a prophet of God. Elijah to this day is a renowned prophet of God. I'd be willing to guess that any of the little ones in the Sunday school could even tell of how Elijah prayed to the Lord that it would cease to rain for 3.5 years. Elijah was a man of God who many times stood alone. He stood alone in confronting the most ungodliest king of Israel, the king Ahab. He also stood alone whenever he stood against the 450 prophets of Baal. Baal, that false god which had stolen the hearts of the people of Israel at that time. But Elijah's time was coming to an end, and Elisha knew that his master would have to go, but he would not leave his side. Even though Elijah encouraged him to stay first in Gilgal, then in Bethel, then in Jericho, Elisha would not leave his side. He was faithful to him. He wanted to be with him to the very last, to the very end of his life, to see him as he would depart to be with the Lord. And I believe it is perhaps Elisha's faithfulness to Elijah that causes Elijah to ask Elisha in verse 9, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha knew the weight of the responsibility that lay ahead of him. He knew he would be Elijah's successor. He knew that he needed something to help him in this great task. As he was asked this question, it is noteworthy that he did not ask anything selfishly. He did not ask anything by way of promotion or of exaltation of self, but he knew if he was to fulfill the task as good as Elijah did, he needed what Elijah had. And not just what Elijah had, but a double portion of it. He asks Elijah for the double portion of his spirit to be upon him, so that he could stand in the place of Elijah when he goes. But as we have read of Elijah ascending up to heaven by a whirlwind, we read that Elijah's mantle fell down to the ground and rested on the ground. And the question comes, what was to be done with the mantle? Who would take up the mantle of Elijah? And we see that Elisha takes up the mantle, and by so doing, the work of God continues in the hands of a new man and the hands of a new prophet who would also be mightily used of God. And so this morning, I want us to consider as our subject this day the mantle of service. The mantle of service, considering the verses 12 to 14 of 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to say that this has been a passage that has been pressed upon my heart the last couple of weeks. What I believe drew my attention to this passage was due to the passing of Dr. Bill Woods. He was a man mightily used of God, a man who was committed to the work of God in Brazil, and he had seen the Lord do great things through him. But now he has gone to be with the Lord. There's a place empty in God's work. The mantle of service has been laid down. Like many great men of the past, they have laid their armor down. They have cast down their mantle. And the question comes, who will take up the mantle of service? I want us to consider, firstly, that the mantle of service is gained in loss. The mantle of service is gained in loss. As we have already noted, Elisha was well aware that Elijah was going to depart. He was well aware of many things. If you turn back a couple of pages to 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, in this portion we see that Elisha knew very well that he was to succeed the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19, and the verse 15. And this is the Lord speaking to Elijah when he is reconsecrated back to the work of God. And the Lord said unto him, that is Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And if you skip to the verse 19, so he, that is Elijah, departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Elijah casts his mantle upon Elisha. It was an illustration of the fact that Elisha was going to be his successor. He is going to take over the work in his stead when he goes. And so, with Elijah gone, it feels as though in the work of God there is a great piece missing in God's work. A piece that perhaps we might feel no man could fill. We often say whenever a renowned man of God passes away that there will never be another like him. But God can make men like such renowned men and even greater. And we will see that Elisha was going to be that man. And I'm pretty sure, even as we've read about the prophets that gathered together to see Elijah for the last time, that they would have said, there will never be another like Elijah. There will never be another like him again. And I'm sure Elisha heard the many of those things. Elisha, no doubt, heard that plenty of times. And by hearing that, would only add more weight to his shoulders, as he was aware of the call of God in his life to be Elijah's successor. Could anyone accomplish such things that Elijah did? Can anyone do better than Elijah did? Elisha was going to be that very individual, not by his own efforts, nor by his own works, but by the Spirit and help of God. As Elisha saw Elijah ascend to heaven, we read in the first 12 that he cries in despair in the first 12, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He laments because he has petitioned for the double portion of the Spirit of Elijah to be upon him. And in this occasion, as he sees Elijah ascending to heaven, he feels like, no doubt, he feels that he has lost tremendously and gained nothing at all. Elijah goes, and it's just Elisha. And he knows he has to take up the mantle. He knows he has to continue the work of God. Elisha calls Elijah the chariot of Israel. That means he was a mighty man. We've already noted the mighty works in which Elijah did, how he contended for the faith. He charged into the spiritual battle, even though he stood alone most of those times. And here, Elisha, he feels powerless because he is alone. His master is now gone, and gone suddenly. He calls him father because it shows how close the two individuals were. But now he is gone. It is a day of great and tremendous loss. Elisha, no doubt, must have felt like he had lost everything and gained nothing. And so in despair and in lamentation, he rends his garments in two, which was the practice in those days to show bereavement and grief. He rends his garments in two and picks up the mantle of Elijah. Elisha had to suffer the loss of his beloved master. His master had on the mantle of service. It was his mantle of service for his time. But now his time is gone, and he is gone. And the mantle falls to the ground, and the question comes, what will be become of the mantle? Will it be allowed to lie in the ground? Or will someone take it up and hang it as a memorial to Elijah to testify of the great things God did through him? Or is someone going to pick it up and make full use of the service, of the mantle of service? For Elisha to put on the mantle of service, he had to tear down his own garments first. The mantle of service requires loss. It requires the loss and the dying to self and a yielding to God and obeying to God. Elisha tearing down his garments was his emptying up of himself of all that he is. And really, in effect, he's really saying, I am nothing. I am unable to do the service without my Father. I cannot do this. I am powerless against the enemies of the gospel. Can you see the many things that are pressed upon Elisha at this very moment? There's the loss of someone who is close to him. There's the loss of self-ability, the overwhelmment of the duty that awaits him to take up. And at this stage, he feels so helpless. He feels so powerless, unable to do the task that lies ahead, realizing that he must take up the mantle of service. To put on the mantle of service will require that you will have to lose things. Are you prepared for that this morning? If you have a desire to put on the mantle of service, you must know this, that it will require that you lose something. And that can mean yourself, so that you can give yourself to God and say that you are God's this day. And even though that is a hard thing to grasp, a difficult thing to go through, I want to assure you of God's grace that is far greater, that gives strength and peace when we suffer loss. This is not some helpless thing that we have to give up ourselves, but it is by doing so, realizing of the promise of God that God will honor us. If we honor Him and serve Him, God will honor us. If you yield yourself to honor Him, to put on the mantle of service may mean that you may have to scrap the ambitions and dreams that you have in your life. Perhaps surrender your career or your job, to lose out on the opportunity of perhaps getting a job that might pay you better money than your current job. Maybe to lose those who are close to you, like Elisha had to do. Maybe family and friends who may not look keenly upon you for taking up the mantle of service, feeling that perhaps you could do something better in your life. You remember that Elisha, when you read the chapter 19 of 1 Kings, Elisha had to leave his family to serve the Lord. We sang already that hymn, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live." Let me ask you, do you? Do you surrender all? Do you know what that means? To surrender all, to surrender everything, to be surrendered to God, to surrender who you are and all that you have and all that you possess and all that you ever hope to be. Do you this morning surrender all? I hope that you do not haste to answer that question until you see and know the scope of that question. And how quickly it is whenever we hear a stirring message or a stirring, or we were at a stirring meeting and we feel so quickly to answer, "Oh yes, I surrender all." And then by the next day, you're not as enthusiastic as you were the day before. I hope that before you should ever declare that you surrender to Christ in service, that you would ask for grace to carry you through in such a great and heavy commitment. Many today in this congregation, you have surrendered to God as your Savior. But have you surrendered to God as your Lord and as your Master, that whatever He tells you to do, you'll do it? And wherever He tells you to go, you'll go. To such things, how often human nature responds so quickly, but, which really means, what about me? What about me? God's service, I want to tell you, is not about you. It is not about me. It is not about who I am or who I hope to be. It is about the glory of God. The service of God is about the glory of God, because it is the glory of God that is at stake. It is the glory of God that is at stake in the world today. It's not about you. It's not about the church. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory and the glory of the cross. The world does not glorify God. It defies God. Therefore, God's people must lose who they are and what they think they are and put on the mantle of service and do service for God and to stand for God in this dark day so that God can be glorified through you. I ask again the question, are you surrendered to God? This loss is great gain when we see that Christ, when we see Christ as our everything. Paul had this vision in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, where he says, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Notice secondly with me that the mantle of service will test us. The mantle of service will test us. In the verse 13, when Elisha takes up the mantle, he goes back to where he came from. He goes back to the Jordan, in which he crossed with Elijah. But now he returns to the Jordan alone. He returns as he doesn't know where to go. It's so true the case whenever we don't know where to go. Maybe we're traveling in a path and we find a way in which we cannot cross through, that we have to go back from where we came from and find another way round. Elisha goes back from where he came from, not knowing the way forward. But he only goes forward so far when he is stopped by the River Jordan. And this is where Elisha's faith was going to be put to the test, where the mantle was going to be put to the test, where God would be put to the test. Elisha's prophetic ministry begins with a test of faith. This testing of faith was not some way of making Elisha's life miserable, but it was a way by which his faith in God would be exercised and strengthened. We know that the River Jordan holds much significance in the Hebrew. It means a descender or a flowing downward, and it is a large flowing body of water in Palestine. This is the river in which Israel had to cross through in order to get to the Promised Land. And even there, the waters were the waters of testing, because it was a test of their faith. Did they believe that they would receive the Promised Land? No matter what the case is, no matter what obstacle lay ahead, did they believe that the Lord would grant to them the land that was promised to them? And the Lord answered by opening the waters. It is the waters of testing for Elisha, for now he is alone. He doesn't have Elijah at his side. He doesn't have a mentor. It is him and God. And bear in mind, in this case, we don't even know if he's ever done a miracle before. How was he going to cross the river? And so we read that Elisha, he stands by the bank of the River Jordan. And we read in the first 14 that he takes the mantle that represented the power and the faith in which God gave to Elijah in the most darkest of days. And there Elisha, he smites the waters with the mantle. And he asks in verse 14, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Not where is Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the power of God? Where is the answer to my petition? Where is the blessing of the double portion that I have petitioned? Elisha is emptied of self, and he falls entirely to the mercies of God, that God would give him the power to be able to bear the mantle of service. Elisha is really saying here, where is God? Where is the power of God that Elijah knew? If God does not give me the double portion, if he does not give me the power, I cannot cross the Jordan. I cannot commence the ministry, and I cannot accomplish anything for God unless God gives me the power and the answer to my petition. And the Lord answers Elisha without even saying a word. For there on that moment, the Lord opened the Jordan before him. And this was the confirmation that the Lord had answered his prayer, that he now has the double portion of the spirit of Elijah, and he's been given power. And now the God of Elijah is now the God of Elisha. The God he has not changed. The God that has put the mantle of service upon his servant will have power. He will know the help of God. He will know wisdom and grace to face the tests in which they have to face. So long as they follow through and trust in the Lord, they will cross the Jordan. And in case we miss this confirmation, the answer of Elisha's petition, we have the confession among the prophets in verse 15, where they say, when they see the whole event fall before them in front of them, where they say in verse 15, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. Elisha can now go forth with confidence because now he knows and he is assured that not only does he have the mantle of service, but he's God. He has God on his side. He has the blessing of God behind him, and that the Lord will roll the sea away. Believer, as we serve God and have on the mantle of service, we know too well that our faith in God will be continually put to the test. Not that we would have a hard time, but so that our faith in God will be exercised and strengthened. So that we will have a high view of God and a high dependency upon God and a low view of self and in our own ability. I want to ask, is that the sort of Christian that you are today? That you have such a high view of God, a high dependency upon God, and a low view of self? Or are you an individual that has such a low view of God and you're absolutely full of yourself and not filled with the Holy Ghost? There was Elisha. He was powerless. He could do nothing to cross the Jordan but put his trust in Christ. I want to say that's a tremendous picture of the gospel. There before him, the Jordan was before him. He was powerless. He could do nothing of himself to cross the Jordan. If he tried to, he would either drown and be swept away by the sea, or if he stayed where he was in the wilderness, he would perish. He needed to cross the Jordan to be saved. But with his faith in the Lord, trusting in who he is, what he has done, what he can do, the Lord makes a path through the river of death to the land of promise. I want to say he can do the same for you that believe not in Christ. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I tell you, you shall be saved. Without Christ, you will perish. Without Christ, you will drown in your own sins and drown into hell under God's wrath forever. Elisha could not look to anyone but to the Lord. So I say to you to trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He alone has the power to forgive sins and bring you safe through Jordan. And dear believer, in closing, as we have learned of the mantle of service, let me ask you, will you take on the mantle of service? Are you going to serve God while you still have the opportunity to do so? I think of the young people of the congregation. Will you give your youth to the Lord? Are you going to grow old until your youth is gone and you'd wish you'd given God more? You'd wish you'd given your youth to God. There is a great need for laborers. There is a great need for servants of God to be servants of God. Rather than undercover Christians or pew warmers, God is calling you to serve him and to labor in his vineyard. There is such a need for God's people to serve the Lord rather than doing nothing. The man who hid his talents and did nothing with them in Matthew 25 was brought to shame. He was brought to shame because he did nothing with the talents God gave him. And the sad reality is there was nothing that he could do to change what he had done, to change in how he lived, to change in how he could have improved his situation. Spurgeon said concerning this portion, "He who does nothing is a wicked, slothful servant. What then will become of some of you?" Samuel Rutherford also said in this portion, "Number your talents and see what ye have to render back." You might ask this morning, what are we to do? We are to preach and present the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is still the answer. The gospel is still the need today. We see the world that is filled with problems, filled with difficulties, filled with troubles. And so often we might look and see, what can we do? What needs to be done? I tell you, the gospel needs to be preached and proclaimed today. The problem is still the same. And the solution is still the same. The land needs the Savior. We need Christ today. Preach the word, Paul exhorted Timothy. Preach the word, God exhorts us today. When the church introduces anything but the gospel, that church has said the gospel's not enough. We need men who will preach the gospel. One of the things that spoke to me about going into the ministry was the need for preachers. The need for preachers in our denomination. I remember my minister speaking on the calling of Elisha. And as he concluded the message, he said about how there would be 14 vacant pulpits, which is about roughly 25% of the denomination. And even years on today, I see within 10 or 20 years, many ministers that are going to retire. And even as I stand representing the college, we only had one person coming into college. We don't have a theological student. And I don't know if there's ever been a year where we've never had a theological student in the college. At one stage, it looked like there was nobody coming in. That should concern every single one of us. The future of our denomination. That should be a matter of prayer. Where are the laborers? He is going to go to those who are perishing and lost and dying in sin. He will take up the mantle of service. I want to ask you, what are you going to do about the need? There's something disastrously wrong if a vacancy doesn't bother you, or if there's a place in this world where the gospel is not preached, doesn't bother you. Will you, if the Lord is calling you, take up the mantle of service? To take up the mantle of service in which men of the past, the fathers of our faith, have left behind. This denomination needs laborers. The work of God, even here in Macrofelt, needs laborers in the work. There are needs in the various works. There are needs in the children's work and in the youth work. And I think as well of the open air work. So I think I'll be there to give help this afternoon in the open air. And I want to say that even those men in the open air team are not getting any younger. And they stand to represent Christ in our community. And many times that I have spent with them, my prayer has been that the Lord would call young people of this congregation to go into this great work. I thank God even for tokens of good and answers to prayer for that. And I would even give you a personal invitation to come and join us this afternoon as we stand for God in the open air and present the gospel. Though the work is a difficult work, it will be a work that will make you strong. It will teach you how to make a stand for God. It will challenge you every time you stand how to give an answer for your faith. Do you know how to give an answer for your faith? Can you answer your faith? This will be a work that will challenge you to do so. I will make you strong. And I want to say, if you have a burden for your community, you'll be at the open air. If you are concerned about the sinful state of Macrofelt, you'll be there. The mantle of service has been cast before you. What will you do with the mantle of service? Are you going to leave it on the ground? Are you going to take it up and mean business for God? You might say to me this morning that you're unable, you're powerless, you're not comfortable with this such service. That is how Elisha felt. And we already considered that and looked at that. He was powerless. He rent his garments in two. And he prayed, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he received the power. He received the double portion of God. God made Elisha able and gave him the help and the power to do the work of God. And I go back to the point where I believe many would have said that there will never be another like Elijah. And yet the Lord can make greater than Elijah. And Elisha was that man. He had the double portion of the Spirit. It is reliably told that he did twice as many miracles as Elijah. And some chronologists believe he lived twice as long as Elijah. And I say to you this morning, whatever the hindrance that holds you back from taking up the mantle of service, I tell you to look to Christ. Look afresh to Calvary. Look at the cross work of Christ. And when you get to the cross of Christ, you can only conclude, is that not worth preaching? Is that not worth going and telling our loved ones, our friends, and our neighbors that there is a God in heaven who is mighty to save? And go and preach the gospel. You will never surrender to God until your heart is melted and your knees drop in humility and in wonder of who God is and what he has done for us and what he can do. And only then, in humility, we will be brought to joy and in full surrender to take up the mantle of service with the assurance that the God of Elijah is still the same. He's still mighty. He still lives. And praise God, he still reigns. Take up the mantle of service in joy and in triumph, for the Lord has done great things for us, and God can do great things through us if we surrender to him. Oh, may God bless and write this word upon our hearts this morning. Let us sing together in closing the hymn 675. Hymn 675. I want to maybe perhaps change the first line of this hymn. We usually do it in Newton Abbey, to sing not far away, because we know too well the heathen are all around us. They're within a stone cast, perhaps from where we live. If we could sing not far away, in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. Who will go, salvation's story telling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. We'll stand together to sing this hymn together after the introduction. Let's all stand together. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the great commission that is upon us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, we do thank thee that thou dost not send us to go forth alone. We thank thee for that comfort and that blessed promise that, lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the earth. We thank thee, that, Lord, that we do not go forth alone, that thou art with us. Thou art there to strengthen us, as thou didst give strength to Elisha in his most desperate of need. Lord, we pray that we would be committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and be in the business of telling others of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is still the answer today and still has the power to break the chains of sin and to set the captives free. O God, we pray, set the captives free. Break the chains of sin. And, O Lord, we pray that every single one of us would say that we surrender all and mean it and be committed to it. And that, Lord, that we would see the work of God go forth in thy blessing and in thy power. Make us men and women of God that would be fully surrendered to thee. That whatever thou dost tell us to do, we would do it. That wherever we would go, wherever thou would call us to go, we would go. Help us, O God, to be obedient and to trust and obey in thee. Lord, we pray thou wouldst take us in our homes in safety. May we pray as well that this word would be applied in our hearts. Keep it ever before us. And help us, Lord, to keep this day holy unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.